I'm thankful to say that I have never known the horrors of battle, and I admire and even am more thankful for those who are brothers and sisters who've gone before us and have done this on our behalf so that we don't have to. Battles leave scars. They leave wounds, some of which never heal. But even the victors in battle, those who've won the battle, have to take time to heal and recover from the battle. In our continued series called Connect, where we're talking about prayer, today we're looking at breakthrough prayer. We've discussed healing last week. We've talked about God being good. But today we're talking about breakthrough kind of prayer, the breakthrough prayer. Breakthrough is a military term. It has to do with battle lines, where the lines have been drawn and the enemies are squared off to one another. And usually there's been very little movement in the line. There's not as much action. One combatant is dug in and the enemy is trying to break through, is trying to break through the line. So what happens is the advancing army puts an unusually large number of troops and equipment towards a relatively small part of the defensive army line. And that increased pressure on one particular spot in the defense leads to the defense snapping in a very short time span. And that is when you can achieve breakthrough. After the breakthrough happens, they can disrupt the supply lines. You take out adjacent units next to them. Those units are already under pressure. You can cause them to kind of snap quickly and take over the enemy line. And once the breakthrough occurs, you can rush in lots more and more and more troops and to widen that gap even further and deepen the territory that you're trying to conquer. But breakthroughs don't happen easily. Breakthroughs don't happen where the defense is weak. The defense is always stronger where the breakthrough is. Breakthroughs don't happen where the target is soft. The target's always valuable where the breakthrough is. Breakthroughs don't happen where the terrain is just easy. It's always uphill. It's always harder terrain. I've been watching that old HBO series called Band of Brothers, and its other episodes with it called The Pacific. And what these men did during World War II to conquer territory and take over targets was unbelievable. The language that they use is very familiar to us in the church, however. They say that they're on a mission, that they have a target. They're navigating difficult terrain to achieve a breakthrough, and the breakthrough is never easy. And the same goes for our spiritual lives. Breakthrough is not an easy thing. But what do I mean by spiritual breakthrough? Spiritual breakthrough is not a term that's found in the Bible, but nonetheless, it is a reality in people's lives that occurs from time to time. A spiritual breakthrough is unique to each person. It's sort of getting to a new level of spirituality. It's a new place on your journey. And you can't get there on your own, but there are things that you can do to weaken the defenses. God is the one who gives the breakthrough, but you can create the atmosphere for it. Here's some examples of a spiritual breakthrough, what we might think of when we talk about spiritual breakthrough. Someone getting saved, that's a first spiritual breakthrough. No longer walking in darkness, but now walking in light. Someone accepting Jesus as their Savior, that's a breakthrough. Other breakthroughs happen throughout our lives after we get saved. There's understanding Scripture at a new level, like, oh, I've never understood that before. I get that a little better now. Maybe conquering some sort of sin that you just haven't been able to kick on your own. You have a breakthrough. God breaks through and conquers that for you. Perhaps a reuniting with God after a feeling like a period of distance from God, a spiritual desert of sorts, and then you get to the oasis that is God. Maybe another breakthrough is an answer to prayer, where we've been praying hard for something, and God finally answers that prayer in the way that's very positive for us. And I got a new one for you, conquering a fear because of things that are out of control in your life. Things that are happening around you, and you've conquered that fear. That's a breakthrough. You can't control those things, but now you no longer have fear of them. Spiritual breakthroughs are not an easy thing. Why? Because the terrain around a spiritual breakthrough is not easy to navigate. Oftentimes, we're talking about deep-seated issues that have roots that may go back decades, may go back generations even. You can't just stop doing that sin. You need a breakthrough. It's not easy to navigate the terrain because you can't control other people. You can't force them to do things. You can't make them want to do things. You need a breakthrough in that area. Situations like the coronavirus that we find ourselves in, we can't control this. There's very little we can do in this situation. We can't change it, but we need a breakthrough. There's other breakthrough areas in our hearts and our minds, our emotions. We can't just shut it off. We go ahead, try to tell yourself, stop worrying about that thing. Stop crying. Stop mourning. You can't do that. It just happens, so you need a breakthrough. The terrain in our hearts is not an easy place to navigate. The defenses are always stronger where the breakthrough happens. The enemy has built up defenses around where that breakthrough needs to happen. And it usually looks a little bit like that terrain I just mentioned. Hardened hearts, obstinate people, decades and generations of sinful and destructive patterns. And let me tell you something, the devil's not going to give up on his territory. He is going to defend it. He's just not going to let Jesus take over the territory. He will do everything possible to make you give up. He wants to make you let go of it, to render you powerless and ineffective. So he strengthens the defenses exactly in the place where you need a breakthrough. Why does he do that? Because the target is valuable. The target is a liberation of some sort. The goal of the breakthrough is liberation. Liberation from something. Liberation from that sin, from that relationship, from that bitterness, or from that fear. If Satan can keep you in fear and keep you in sin and keep you in bad relationships, holding on to bitterness, then he is limiting you from reaching your potential in Jesus Christ. And so you need liberated from that. You need a breakthrough. He's not going to just let Jesus have it. But breakthroughs don't happen on their own, and they aren't easy. Matthew 17 relays the story of Jesus. He sends out his disciples to do ministry. And so they go out and they go do the things that Jesus did. They heal people and they teach and they preach and they drive out demons. And they come back to Jesus and they tell him, like, there's this one demon that we couldn't get out. And they kind of say, what's up with that? So Jesus teaches them. He says, first of all, you can do anything as long as you have the faith of a mustard seed. You can do impossible things like move a mountain. But then he says, this kind of demon only comes out by prayer and fasting. Basically, he's saying he needed a breakthrough. They couldn't do this one on their own. They needed breakthrough. They needed God's help in it. And there are some things that can only come out by prayer and fasting. If you really want to see breakthrough in a particular area of your life, then you're going to need to exercise prayer and fasting. Here's what prayer and fasting does. First of all, let me say, we cannot accomplish breakthrough on our own. We cannot do it. We can only create the atmosphere for it. And that's what prayer and fasting do. It's the atmosphere for God to work. It prepares the soil. It's the mortar that softens the defenses before the main attack. So we pray and we fast. Here's what prayer and fasting does. Prayer engages God. I thought that was a clever way of playing on our name, Engage Newark Church. But prayer engages God. But fasting disengages us from the world. In prayer, we're talking to and we're telling God what we want and what we need and where we want to grow and where we think we need to go. And we're committing to God. But fasting, we're withdrawing from. We're not relying on the world. We're abstaining from certain parts of the world. Prayer is communicating, whereas fasting is sort of excommunicating. We're pushing something out that actually keeps us from communicating with God. Prayer is calling out and crying. Fasting is diving inward and contemplating. Breakthroughs only happen through prayer and fasting. The passage I want to preach from today is from Daniel chapter 10. Going back to the Old Testament, Daniel had received this vision from God, and he tells us what the vision is, but I don't really want to focus on that necessarily. I want to teach on how Daniel handled this thing rather than the prophecy itself. It says this in the first verse of chapter 10 in Daniel: "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar," that was his Babylonian name, "and the word was true, and it was a great conflict. He understood the word, and he had an understanding of the vision." So in other words, Daniel knew what was going on, and he had an idea of what it meant, and it stirred up his soul. Verse 2, "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks." So how long was Daniel in mourning? 3 weeks. How many days is 3 weeks? Is 21 days. That's important later on. So what did he do during those 3 weeks? There's 21 days. He was fasting. He didn't eat anything. He didn't eat anything good anyway during those 3 whole weeks. I can't imagine 3 whole weeks. I could hardly go 3 whole hours fasting, but he went 3 whole weeks. So he's fasting and he's praying for 21 days. And suddenly he's walking along the Tigris River, and it says suddenly he sees this glorious vision on the banks of the Tigris River. He's with some people. No one else sees the vision, only Daniel, but it's enough for his friends to actually go and hide. They ran and they hid. It kind of reminds of the story of Saul on the road to Damascus, where he alone, Saul, saw this vision and heard this vision from God, but nobody else saw it. But Daniel's the only one who sees it. After this vision, Daniel sort of loses himself. He loses his strength and he kind of falls apart. And he says his vigor turns to frailty. But he could still hear, even though he felt like he was in a deep sleep. And here's skipping forward down to verse 10. "And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you.'" Wouldn't those be comforting words at a time like that? Hey, you're greatly loved. Stand up with me. I've been sent for you. This was no ordinary man talking to Daniel at this point. It's actually an angel that was sent from God. Daniel's prayer was enough for God to send an angel to Daniel. And it says, "And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling." I mean, Daniel's able to stand, but he's trembling, and who can blame him? I start trembling if I haven't eaten for 6 hours and not even have an angel come visit me. He's been fasting for 21 days, and he's had this amazing experience. "And then the angel said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words.'" Isn't that incredible? It says, the first day you humbled yourself before God, your words were heard. Last week we talked about healing. The basic premise of 2 Chronicles 7:14 was humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and then God will hear you and heal you. That's the basic premise of that. But Daniel was heard on the first day that he humbled himself. That's what the angel tells him. You were heard on the first day you humbled himself. How many days did he pray? 21. 21. So why did it take so long for the breakthrough to happen if God had heard him on the first day? But the angel goes on with his message. And this is where you might think the Bible stuff is just crazy talk. Here's what it says. The angel's talking here. He says, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what it is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come." This is kind of where it goes crazy. All right, so it says, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me." Now, this prince is not an actual prince. He's not an actual man. This is actually another angelic spiritual being. Although because he withstood from the angel sent from God, we can know that this is not a holy angel. This is a demonic force. He's a prince. which means he's a powerful demonic force. He's a prince of Persia, which means he was overseeing the demonic activity of the entire kingdom of Persia. Let me ask you, do you believe that there is demonic activity that happens in nations today? It should be a resounding yes. Do you think there are demons alive working against God's goodness even right here in the United States of America today? The angel says, it withstood him, it was fighting him, it was keeping him from accomplishing his mission to go see Daniel for how long? He says, 21 days. How long did Daniel pray? He said, 3 weeks, that's 21 days. And on what day did God hear Daniel for the first time? On day one, the first day. And yet it still took 21 days. What if Daniel had given up on day 20? When you humble yourself, seek God's face, turn from your wicked ways, God hears you on day one. But there are things going on in the spiritual world around you that you simply cannot see and you do not understand. And if you want a breakthrough, you have to pray and fast for more than a minute. I saw a Facebook post by somebody asking for prayer. They were very depressed at that time. They just needed someone to hold them and share their tears with them. And I felt that with that person. My heart went out to them. And I thought, man, that's such a vulnerable thing to just put out on Facebook. And I prayed for them right there on the spot. And then I just scrolled down two or three more posts. I went through my feed, and that same person, timestamp, same person, 6 minutes later, posted a sarcastic political meme. If you really want deep breakthrough, you have to focus on God for more than 6 minutes. You can't be hopping around from thought to thought to thought to thought to thought. You have to pray with intentionality and focus and meaning. And if you can't focus on it and self-reflect on it, and it's your problem, then why should God? There are angels fighting for you. How many spiritual battles have been lost because we gave up the prayer? We failed to prepare the ground with prayer and fasting for more than just a minute, let alone 21 days. How much spiritual territory have we ceded to the enemy because it's just easier to scroll through our phones than it is to put it down and pray deeply to God? People say they just need a breakthrough in their life, but I don't know if we have what it takes. I don't know if we have the fortitude to lay that groundwork. Can we even pray for one single thing for 21 whole days without forgetting what it was that we were supposed to pray for? The angel that came to Daniel had to call in reinforcements. Even the angel himself wasn't defeating the demon by himself. He had to bring in Michael, one of the chief angels, to defeat that prince of Persia. Maybe it's time for you to call in reinforcements. You need a breakthrough. What is it? What is it you need in your breakthrough? Is there some kind of sin in your life? Do you need a breakthrough from sin? The great thing is, right now, you're sitting with people you probably know. Like, you're just sitting with family and stuff. Or you might even be all alone right now. You confess it right out loud. You can just say it. Here's the sin. Here's the habit I have. It's some kind of sin or habit. You know, God's been leading you over and over to knock that thing off, and you just need a breakthrough. Or maybe you need a breakthrough in fear. Has this pandemic rendered you helpless? This thing that's going on that's keeping us from gathering, maybe that fear has built up inside of you. Maybe you need a breakthrough. Maybe it's a relationship that just destroys you every time you're around that person, and you need a breakthrough. That person just, you need a change in your heart, and that person needs a change of heart as well. Is it some kind of bitterness that you've been holding on to forever? This anger that just wells up within you all the time. Is there bitterness in there and you need a breakthrough? Where do you need a breakthrough? The enemy doesn't want to give up that territory in your heart. The enemy's defenses are strong, and there will be a fight for sure. And the angel sent to Daniel spent 21 days fighting it. Now, you may not believe this, but there's 21 days until Easter as of the publication of this video. Today's March 22nd. Easter's 3 weeks away. So here's what I want us to do. We're going to start praying for breakthrough. Where is it in your life that you need a breakthrough? 21 days. Let's start praying now. I'm not going to lie to you. We actually recorded this on March 15th. And at that time, the coronavirus response was changing by the hour. And I suspect by the time you hear these words, we'll have a better understanding of it. But my assumption is that we're going to need to pray for the people who are sick. And we need a breakthrough in our health. We need God's intervention in our physical well-being, in our families, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. We have 21 days. We can engage God through prayer and disengage from the world through fasting. Just a note about that, I don't recommend fasting for 21 whole days like Daniel did. There's tons of different ways that you can fast from all kinds of things that you're dependent upon. The point is to disengage from the world a bit so that you can engage with God and rely on Him. Pray for God to break through the enemy's lines in your life. As the week moves forward, we're going to be in contact with you, and we'll determine whether or not we're going to see you next Sunday. We'll determine that live in worship if we decide to do that. And if nothing else, you can check us out on the live stream. But we're going to be in contact with you, but you have responsibility to pray and fast for breakthrough in your life, in your family, and in our county, your neighborhood, and indeed our whole world. Let us pray. God, we ask that you would break through. We're going to humble ourselves and pray, but we ask that you break through, that you would stack the enemy's lines in a particular area where we need personal breakthrough, that you would put more angels, more power into one particular area and break through so that we can conquer that sin, so that we can defeat that fear, so that we can live whole lives that you intended us to live. We ask, Lord, that you would break through our country and our city. We're grappled with this disgusting disease that's an abomination for what you created us to be. You created perfection, and now here we are with microbes killing us. God, break through and preserve us and give us full health. God, we have 21 days until Easter, Resurrection Day. We ask, Lord, that you take those feelings of fear and death and turn it into resurrection. Break through in our lives. God, we thank you that we can live this life together, and that Jesus has been one who came to save us. We ask, Lord, that he would break through. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Amen.